You got your Bible, want to turn to the book of Ruth, chapter number 1, and the book of Isaiah, chapter number 55, two portions of scripture for this morning. Ruth, chapter number 1, and Isaiah, chapter number 55. Brother Steve, is this thing working out? When I just put it up here and it was on, I don't know if the battery, okay, so it's been left on. All right. Brother Philip, can you run, get me a battery in that? I think they're in that top drawer on my left side. Amen. I'll go ahead and start with this microphone. But, amen. I'm sorry. I might should have looked at that earlier. I didn't. I just put it on, reached to turn it on, and it was on. And so, I'll tell you, Brother James Crawford can mess up anything, can't he? Amen. And I appreciate Brother Crawford filling in for his Wednesday. And, I appreciate you being here backing up those services as well. But I appreciate the Lord blessing us. He blessed us, by the way, down there in Shelbyville. We had a good meeting there in Shelbyville, Tennessee. As I said, met some new folks and new friends. And then met some friends that we hadn't seen in a good long while. And then others that we know well. And we're really blessed. Ruth chapter number. Chapter number 1 and Isaiah chapter number 55. Let's read Isaiah first, if you will. Hold your place in Ruth 1 and Isaiah chapter number 55. These are more than likely familiar verses to you. Thank you, Brother Philip. And hopefully they are. And I'm in 56. Chapter 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Still not on? Yep. Okay. All right. I tell you, I'm going to have to call James Crawford. Amen. Had to crawl all over crawfish. Amen. Amen. Now, okay. Now here we are. All right. We're back. Isaiah 55 and verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let's go to Ruth chapter number 1 and verse number 19. Ruth chapter 1 verse number 19. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. By the way, the name Naomi means pleasant. The name Mara means bitter. Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. I'm going to stop right there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Brother Philip, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you've done.
Yes. Yes, Lord, please do. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you, Brother Philip, for that prayer. Amen. By the way, I appreciate Brother Philip and Brother Rick Jr. Opening up and doing the stuff there on Wednesday as well. And it's good to have these young men busy for the Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to think on this thought, particularly this situation with Naomi. Naomi said, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara. She said, for the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me. tying that, linking that to what God said about my thoughts are so much higher than your thoughts. My ways are so much higher than your ways. I want to preach on this thought this morning. Misunderstanding the majesty of mercy. Misunderstanding the majesty of mercy. Now, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah there in Isaiah 55 and in the text that we read. God used Isaiah to call men unto him. Amen. He said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. By the way, that's what preaching does today. Amen. We're calling sinners to come to Christ. Amen. To draw nigh to Christ. Now, here's something that he does not say. He does not say, sit there and wait for God to jerk you off the pew and to drag you down the aisle and to save you against your will. Or to knock you in the head and save you without you knowing anything about it. He doesn't say that because that's not going to happen. Never has happened. Never will happen. Amen. I appreciate what Brother Joe Bryant says. He said it there this week as well. He says, I don't believe that you can get saved anytime you want to. Just anytime you want to. I don't believe. But he said, I don't believe you'll ever get saved until you want to. Amen. There's got to be a seeking somewhere, and I understand God initiating that. I don't have a problem seeing that very well in the scripture. And matter of fact, he's the one making the call here. He's telling you to seek him. That's his first step. He's commanding all men everywhere to repent. He's commanding all men everywhere, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Amen. And so he said you ought to seek after God. Then he goes on to tell the sinner what must be done after he seeks the Lord. He says in verse number 7, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. By the way, forsaking his ways is repentance. Changing his thoughts is repentance. Returning unto the Lord is repentance. That's what God said you do when you come to him. Amen. And then he goes on to talk about my ways are not. And by the way, let me say this. He didn't say I'll save you because of what you do. He said I'll save you by my grace. Amen. He saves us by his grace. He will abundantly pardon us. He said I will have mercy upon him. Amen. And will save him. Amen. He saves us and abundantly pardons those that come to God his way. That's the point that I'm making there. Amen. And so verses number 8 and 9 of Isaiah chapter 55, God goes on to declare that God's thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. They're not like our thoughts. His ways are not like our ways. In other words, we can easily misunderstand the working of God. Naomi misunderstood what God was doing in her life. And I think a lot of times that is the case, and I want to deal with that a little bit this morning. I don't think I'll be very long, but I want to think about the case of misunderstanding the majesty of mercy. God is merciful even when people think God's being harsh. Amen. God is merciful even when people think that God is being hard. He's being merciful. And they misunderstand that mercy that's being manifested in our life. That's especially true of sinners, but it's even true sometimes of children of God. Amen. Often the thing that God allows to bring us to the end of ourselves, we might say, the thing that God allows to bring us to see our great need of God, we think it's a curse. We think maybe it's a mistake. We think it's a hardship. We think it's a hindrance. But in reality, it may be the very thing that God is using to draw us closer to his side, that we might obtain his mercy. Amen. And we might find that place of blessing. I think that's right. Amen. Now, I think we can see that very clearly illustrated, plainly, in the life of Naomi in particular. And I'll say Naomi and Ruth because they're together in this account. I'm trusting that we're all familiar with the book of Ruth, at least familiar to the point of how I'll be dealing with it today. God's mercy is displayed to a Gentile woman. Ruth is not the star of the book. I actually believe that Boaz is the star of the story. Amen. Just like you're not the star of your life, Jesus is the star of your story. Amen. I am what I am by the grace of God. That's what Paul said. Amen. Amen. I can't take credit for any good in my life. I'll have to say it is the glory of God. It is the mercy of God. God gets all the praise. Amen. I attempt, when somebody says, I appreciate that message. Matter of fact, I've done it so often now that I can do it without even thinking about it. And my response is, praise the Lord. Or give glory to God. God deserves the glory if any good thing comes out of our life. Amen. Amen. And so in the case of the book is about Ruth, she's the one introduced. We know later she's going to be in the lineage of Christ. Amen. And God gives this wonderful love story, how he takes a Gentile heathen and brings them to the knowledge of God and into the family of God. Amen. And God does a wonderful work in this woman's life. But in the process of doing that, he's got to work with Naomi. And Naomi misunderstood what God was doing. I fear that often we misunderstand. We misunderstand. I could say we misunderstand the ministry of mercy. But we misunderstand the majesty. Over it all, overruling all of it, is the mercy of God. Amen. So if you will allow me to just point out a few things in the life of Naomi and Ruth. And I believe to demonstrate Naomi's statement here found in chapter number 1. Where she sees only emptiness and sorrow. She doesn't see the hand of God as good. She sees the hand of God as harsh. The Lord, she said, look at it if you will, in verse number 20, the latter phrase that, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call you me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. She sees his hand as a hand of affliction. We use that phrase sometimes. Somebody gets sick, and we'll say they have been touched with the hand of affliction. It's as if we're saying God's been hard to them. And in some cases, I'm not belittling the fact that sickness can be hard, especially prolonged sickness. Can be hard. It can be very hard. And yet, it's not God mistreating us. If you think that God is mistreating his child, then you are misreading what God is doing in your life. You're misunderstanding what God is doing in your life. Amen. And so she saw only emptiness and sorrow, and she imagines God's bitterness towards her. And she thinks he's bitter to her. He has been bitter towards her. And she sees that illustrated in the hardness of her life. Sometimes we question God's dealings with us. We question that. If not completely just outright accuse God, we'll at least question God and wonder why God is dealing bitterly with us. Amen. Now, let me put this note here, and I've said it already, but I want to say it again and say it emphatically. Let me tell you that God is not dealing very bitterly with you or I. He's dealing very mercifully with you and I. Amen. Our world today and the shape that it's in, even sinners know things are not right. Amen. There's nobody that believes that our country is headed in the right direction morally. Amen. I don't care who you vote for. I'm not talking about politically. I'm talking about morally. It doesn't matter if you go to church or don't go to church. It doesn't matter what, if you read religious books or don't read religious books. You can see our country and our world is headed in the wrong direction morally. Very obvious. I'm telling you, it is the mercy of God that things are not much worse than they are already. It is the mercy of God. Amen. And it can be seen in the case of Naomi, looking at her complaint in verse number 20. And then continuing on to verse number 21. She says in verse number 20 that he's dealt very bitterly with me. But she says in verse 21, I went out. Not God sent me out. I went out. I made some choices. The choices I made left me empty. The choices I made left me bitter. The choices I made have had some hardships applied in my life. I went out full. But notice what she says in verse 21, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Praise God, the fact that God brought her home again. Amen. Listen, that prodigal son, we read about him and we think about him. We see, matter of fact, let me say that any son that ever leaves home and goes, we'll say, to the far country and goes to the hogs, winds up wasting everything he's got. Listen, we don't think so much about what he's lost. We don't think so much about what he's wasted. We just say, Lord, please bring him home. He can be penniless, but thank God he's still my son. Amen. Amen. He can have made all kinds of a mess of his life, but if he can just come home, if God, you just bring him home, it'd be a blessing to see him back home again. Amen. I'm telling you, this woman left full, but thank God for the mercy of God that brought her back, even though she felt empty when she came back. But she thought God had mistreated her, seems like. Amen. She went out of her own free will. Not necessarily following God's leadership or direction. I understand she's following her husband. Her husband made the decision. Elimelech chose to go. You know the situation. But they chose to go their own way is the idea that I see there. But in the mercy of God, the Lord brought her home again. Matter of fact, he brought her home again. Look at the last phrase of verse number 22. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. They came back right at the right time. Amen. Right when there's gleaning to be done. Right when there's going to be handfuls of purpose waiting on them in the field. Amen. There's going to be opportunities that are there. Amen. And I tell you, you or I, we may be empty-handed, but we are blessed of the Lord. Amen. You're blessed where you are today. You may have come to church this morning empty, but thank God you're in the house of God where you can get some help. Amen. 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 You may have come to church today drained, feel like that everything's been drained from you. You may have come to church today dragging a heavy burden and feel like you're really being pressed down and even depressed and despondent and in despair. But thank God you're in the house of God today where there's bread on the table. Amen. Where there's help for the hungry soul. Amen. Amen. A place where you can get the blessings of God. A place where your burdens can be lifted. Amen. A place where your sins can be taken care of. Amen. You may have come to church this morning with a sorrowful spirit and a heavy heart. But you've come to a place where God can fill your heart with gladness. He can give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. 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 One more thing. You may have come to church this morning loaded down with a load of sin and sorrow. A lot of scars and a lot of baggage. You could come that way. But thank God at the house of God, you can meet the Savior. Then wash your sins away. Take them as far as the east is from the west. Amen. Amen. That can deal with you in mercy, thank God. And in His grace, He can save you. Amen. So I want to look at two main points that I want to deal with this morning. As I said, hopefully very quickly, these two main points of contention where people misrepresent God or misunderstand God. And I call it the misunderstanding the majesty of mercy. First of all, and these are not alliterated, but first of all, the personal loss of worldly goods. They misunderstand that. The personal loss of worldly goods. Here's what she said in verse number 21. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Can I tell you that human beings can be very short-sighted? We can be very short-sighted. Just one downturn in the stock market, for example. I can't help but just a few years back, election season, they were talking about, this has been a few years ago now, but they were talking about, this is worse than the Great Depression. These kids have no idea. We have no idea, really. That's like saying that a guppy is bigger than a whale. Yep, my guppy just had babies, 50,000 of them, and is in my aquarium, and it's all bigger than a whale. That's foolishness. It's foolishness to say that times are worse than the Great Depression. Amen. I've heard stories of it. I of course, didn't live through it. My grandfather did. My mom's dad was born in 1897, and he, of course, was an adult through the Depression. Had children even in the Depression. Not my mother. She was born later than that. But anyway, in that story, I remember I had my ninth grade agriculture teacher. Here's what he said. He said, they grew up in the Depression. He said, we didn't even know when it hit. He said, we didn't even know that the Depression had hit. He said, of course, they was telling it in the newspapers. But he said, we couldn't afford to buy newspapers. And so we didn't know. They was just poor. Everybody was poor. And they didn't know. My grandfather talked about walking for miles to get live coals. He said you could buy a book of matches for a penny, but he said it might have been weeks since I'd seen a penny. A penny. Amen. People leave a penny laying on the ground, won't even stoop to pick it up today. Amen. I like to think about it. I remember hearing this fellow said he went to the bathroom in this public store and there was a nickel in the commode. He's trying to think about what to do, whether he's going to pick that nickel up or not. So he reached in his pocket, pulled out two dimes and threw them in there, rolled his sleeve up, and he said, for 5 cents, no, but for 25. Oh, yeah. But this idea of having it hard. Listen, we think we're having it hard if we can't eat out in a fancy restaurant. We have no idea what having it hard is like. Amen. But sometimes we do have downturns. Sometimes things don't just go like we think they ought to go. And by our extreme short-sightedness, we think because of personal loss of worldly goods, God has mistreated us. God's not being good to us. I want you to think about Naomi. Naomi's married to a man named Elimelech. You could start off in the first part of the chapter 1, and I'm not going to go back there and read all that, but it starts off talking about this man, Elimelech. Elimelech was born to a prominent, prosperous, pious family. They're religious. They're Jews. They're people of, they're God's own people. Children of Abraham. Born in Bethlehem, that great famous city. Amen. Well, later would be made famous because of the birth of David and then the birth of our Lord Jesus in that same city. Famous, prosperous, pious. They were religious. His name, Elimelech, means my God is king. Now, why would God allow a man born into that kind of family to end up like Elimelech did? A drought comes. Looks like he's losing everything he's got. Famine caused trouble in their land and trouble in their home. Amen. Trouble came to their house. Amen. They lived in the days of the judges. You recognize that in the very first time. It talks about that too, in the days of judges. Judges was a time of disconcerting times. Israel was going through some turmoil. They had just recently conquered the land, but they didn't drive out all the enemy, and they kept turning away from God. And God would raise up the enemy, let them conquer Israel, or at least a portion of Israel for a while. Let them at least afflict Israel, bring them into different problems and different catastrophes and different captivities that would come their way. And Elimelech is living in that very time, and with some of the turmoil of things that's going on, all the good things that looked like he had going for him went down the drain. Looks like he lost most everything he had. Decided to go sojourn in Moab, which wasn't God's country. It was the enemy of God's people. And they decided to go sojourn. And sojourn just simply means to vacation is really what it means, to spend a little time. But they stayed there 10 years. And in staying there, their two sons married Moabite women. I'm telling you, it looks like, looks like their decisions have not necessarily been good decisions in their family, and it looks like that all the blessings that they had have come to be drained from them. And shortly after, those two sons marry, Elimelech died. And then the two sons died. And Naomi's left a widow. But look at verse number 6 of chapter number 1. It talks about them dying in verse 5. Verse number 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. Look at this phrase. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Thank God for good news. Amen. Dan Rather never learned how to tell that. Amen. William Cronkite never learned how to tell that. Amen. All he tells bad news, bad news, bad news. Thank God for some people that know some good news. By the way, you know good news, you ought to be telling it. Amen. You ought to be telling it to the people you work with. You ought to be telling it to the people you live around. You ought to be telling it to your own family. Amen. Amen. You know some good news. Good news is that God visits his people in giving them bread. Good news is you don't have to live and die in the far country. You can come to God's place. You can get something from the Lord. Amen. Naomi heard the good news. And so she starts heading back. Amen. But she could not see the mercy of God. She couldn't see the mercy of God that God allowed her to survive where her husband and sons didn't. Here's what she saw. She saw her widowhood. She saw what had been taken from her, not what had been spared. So often that's true in our case, isn't it? Amen. So often that's true in our case. We lose something and all we focus on is what's been taken from us rather than what's been spared. Amen. And Naomi's in that. She's misunderstanding the mercy of God. She couldn't see that it was God's mercy that allowed her to hear the good news of his visitation while she's down in Moab. Amen. She couldn't see that it was God's mercy that was going to allow her to return and that he's going to allow her to return right at the beginning of barley harvest. The mercy of God. Amen. Now, I'm sure that Naomi must have questioned. She must have questioned why her husband and her sons had to die. Why they, not just that they had to die, why they'd been allowed to die. Leaving her a widow. We know the story. We know she's going to get to Bethlehem, Judah, right at the beginning of the barley harvest. And God had a rule. When you harvest the field, you don't get right up in the corners, but you leave the corners. You don't pick it clean. You leave some things behind. Who do you leave that behind for? You leave it behind for widows. She wouldn't have qualified if God's mercy hadn't allowed her to become a widow. What she thought God taking her husband from her was a catastrophe. And I'm not saying that it wasn't an emotional catastrophe. I'm not saying it wasn't a financial catastrophe, but what she saw as a catastrophe was actually God allowing her to qualify to be a widow that could go back and in the barley harvest could get something to put food on her table. Amen. Amen. And then of course Ruth comes along and I don't ever see Naomi actually gleaning. Naomi might not have been physically able to glean. I don't know the story. Apparently she's able to take that child and raise it after it's born. But grandparents can do things that parents just can't do. Amen. I heard somebody recently was talking about, said when I was at the dentist the other day, this one of the ladies behind her, apparently it's her grandson that was there, and her daughter was telling one of the other ladies, she said, when mama was just a mama, she never had money for candy. But she said, grandma's always got money for candy. Yep. Always got money and time for it. I bought my granddaughters a 1-pound bag of chocolate M&Ms the peanut, the one, you know, the peanut. I told them they was welcome. They couldn't eat them while he was at our house. It was actually in North Carolina. I said, you can't actually eat them here, but you can eat them all the way home to Virginia. Amen. Keep your mom and daddy up. Pay them back for what they've done to us. Amen. Amen. But here, I don't know that Naomi herself actually ever gleaned, but I do know Ruth did. And by the way, Ruth qualified because Ruth was not just a widow. Ruth was a stranger. He talked about leave that for the stranger and the fatherless and the widows. Amen. And I don't know if Ruth was fatherless. I personally think she might have been because it talked about her going back. When Naomi said go back, and Orpah did, by the way, went back to her mother's house, not her father's house. Maybe she was fatherless. I don't know. But I do know this. She qualified. Listen, sometimes the problems that we face, we think it's just hardships God's put on us. But God is actually qualifying us that we can qualify for the blessings of God down the road. Amen. But we misunderstand that. We thought, well, we lost it all. We lost it all. And so God's been hard. God's been bitter. No, God wasn't being bitter. God was being merciful. Amen. Amen. If Naomi hadn't been a widow, she'd have never qualified to glean. If Ruth hadn't been a widow and a stranger, she'd have never been qualified to glean. If they hadn't come to this awful, tragic place, they'd have never been qualified for Boaz to be able to redeem them. Amen. I'm not happy that I was a sinner, but I'm glad I realized I was one day, because that meant me qualified. Listen, Christ didn't come to save everybody. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to save sinners. Isn't that what he said? Amen. He came to save sinners. I'm glad for the day I recognized I was lost. That qualified me for the opportunity to be saved by the good grace of God. Amen. So the first thing, the loss of worldly goods is often misunderstood. Number two, the gain of worldly goods by others is often misunderstood. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 2. I stopped at the end of chapter 1, but look at chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. You know this is true, that many times people who don't have much, people who are impoverished, sometimes hold grudges and even envy those that do have wealth. They say, it's like they got it too good. They got it too easy. And they envy them. Envy often moves people to grumble about the good things that other people enjoy. Listen, and somebody said this. I don't remember where I heard this sometime recently, but boy, it's good. They said this. They said that coveting something. If I covet what you've got, Brother Josh, if I covet, let me say I covet your Toyota, then that means I wish I had one just like it. Or I wish I had that one. But envy means I can't have it, so I don't want you to even have it. And there are people in our world today that they don't have money. By the way, a lot of them won't get up and go to work. Amen. Amen. Or they won't stay at work when they get there. Amen. They won't apply themselves. They won't deal with it. Amen. And they say, well, they've got money, and maybe they did inherit it. I don't know. Elimelech looks like he did, or Boaz may have inherited some, but Boaz was an industrious man as well. Amen. But sometimes impoverished people actually envy others, and they complain about it, and they say, God's dealt bitterly with me because he didn't give me what they've got, and they don't deserve what they've got. Amen. But here's something I got to think about. This situation here, Elimelech and Boaz were from the same family. How come one of them got to stay rich while the other became poor? When Boaz is going to redeem that property, now listen, he's going to redeem that property. The only reason property needs to be redeemed is because the owner cannot take care of it. Well, Elimelech has died. His boys have died. Naomi's a widow. She don't have any other children. She mentioned Orpah and Ruth. She said, if I was to have a husband tonight, I probably wouldn't have children and you wouldn't wait for me. So she felt like she's at a dead end. The property is going to be lost. But Elimelech had that property and it looks like it's going to be lost. But he's got a relative that has means. I said earlier that hardship qualified Naomi to be able to glean. It qualified Naomi and Ruth to be able to be redeemed. But can I tell you the goodness of God, the blessings of God on Boaz, qualified Boaz to be able to redeem Ruth and Naomi. Amen. Amen. Sometimes God blesses people. And by the way, I don't think he blesses us just to splurge it on ourselves. Amen. No. I think he blesses us to be able to share those blessings with others. Amen. Now people say, well, how's it fair that some people have and others don't? Did you know if you do a study on wealthy people, you'll find out that most millionaires did not inherit their millions. Very few millionaires inherited their millions. Most millionaires worked hard. Some of them may have cheated people. I understand that. I'm not saying that they're all virtuous and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that at all. But we say, life's not fair. Well, actually, life is seldom fair. Amen. If you're looking for fairness in life, you're probably barking up the wrong tree. Life's not going to be fair. But God is merciful. Amen. God is merciful. Rather than complaining about what you don't have, how about looking in the field for a few handfuls of purpose? If you'd go looking around, instead of just griping and grumbling about what we don't have, and oh, woe is me, and oh, how bad it is, start looking around at some of the blessings of God. I believe you'll find a handful here or there that God has left on purpose. Amen. Amen. You'll find the blessings of God. Amen. Amen. Don't allow yourself to become envious of others. Don't allow yourself to grow bitter towards God. Amen. Look around a little bit. You'll find God's been mighty merciful to you and me as well. Amen. He's been good to... Perhaps your house is not as big as somebody else, but God's give you a roof over your head. Thank God for it. Amen. Perhaps you don't fare as sumptuously as some people do. Perhaps you don't drive as nice a car as some people do. Thank God you're not walking. Amen. Thank God you got food on the table. Amen. Amen. Maybe your family's not as well off. Maybe you're not as well dressed as others are. You ought to thank God that God has blessed you with the blessings he's given you. God's not dealt bitterly with you. God's not dealt bitterly with me. God's dealt mercifully with us. Amen. Amen. And God's mercy extends to salvation. By the way, the goodness of God, the whole purpose of the goodness of God is to lead us to repentance. That's what the Bible says. Amen. It's to lead us to a place to recognize how good our God is. God, listen, I may not have a nice house. I may not have a nice car. I may not have nice clothes. I may not have nice things. I may never be famous. And listen, it's sad that so many people today are wanting to be famous. They want their 5 minutes of fame. I mean, they'll swallow quarters to make a TikTok video hoping that they'll get somebody to pay attention to it. Amen. All kinds of stuff. Everybody wanting their own fame. But listen, we may not be rich and famous, but we've been blessed of God. God has offered us a home in heaven if we trust Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen. God's dealt very, not bitterly, God's dealt very mercifully with every one of us. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. They come with a song. I'll say this in conclusion. Our thoughts are not always in agreement with God's thoughts. We don't always see things as clearly as he sees them. As I said, often we're short-sighted, extremely short-sighted. But God's got long-term vision. God's got long-range plans. Amen. Take just a moment. Look around you. I believe you'll see God has blessed us mightily. God's been mighty merciful to you and me both. Have you ever trusted Christ? He said he started that out in Isaiah 55. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let him return unto the Lord. And he said he will abundantly pardon. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for reminding us, Lord, that sometimes we misunderstand. We just flat misunderstand the majesty of mercy. We don't recognize that through it all, through some of the things we complained about, Lord, you was being merciful. Through some of the things we got envious of, you were being merciful. Lord, help us to recognize that and to come to you. I pray that sinners be saved. I pray that saints be stirred. I pray that Christ be glorified. Lord, that is what it's all about. Have your way in this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. Some's in the altar. Maybe you'd like to come as well. Pray where you are, however God deals with you. Give you opportunity to do business with God while we sing.